Harry looked at her shrewdly. Hermione, if you can ask out MacLagan...
There's a difference, said Hermione with dignity. I've got no plans to tell Ron anything about what might or might not have happened at Keeper Tryouts.
Good, said Harry fervently,
because he'll just fall apart again and we'll lose the next match. Quidditch, said Hermione angrily. Is that all boys care about? Cormac hasn't asked me one single question about myself, no. I've just been treated to 100 great saves made by Cormac MacLagan, non-stop, ever since... Oh, no, here he comes.
She moved so fast, it was as though she had disapparated. One moment she was there, the next she had squeezed between two guffawing witches and vanished.
Seen Hermione?
Asked MacLagan, forcing his way through the throng a minute later. No, sorry, said Harry, and he turned quickly to join in Luna's conversation, forgetting for a split second to whom she was talking.
Harry Potter,
said Professor Trelawney in deep, vibrant tones, noticing him for the first time.
Oh, hello,
said Harry unenthusiastically.
My dear boy,
she said in a very carrying whisper.
The rumours, the stories, the chosen one. Of course, I have known for a very long time. The omens were never good, Harry. But why have you not returned to divination? For you, of all people, the subject is of the utmost importance.
Ah, Sybil, we all think our subject's most important,
said a loud voice, and Slughorn appeared at Professor Trelawney's other side, his face very red, his velvet hat a little askew, a glass of mead in one hand and an enormous mince pie in the other.
But I don't think I've ever known such a natural at potions,
said Slughorn, regarding Harry with a fond, if bloodshot eye.
Instinctive, you know, like his mother. I've only ever taught a few with this kind of ability. I can tell you that, Sybil, by even Severus.
And to Harry's horror, Slughorn threw out an arm and seemed to scoop Snape out of thin air toward them.
Stop skulking and come and join us, Severus, hiccuped Slughorn happily. I was just talking about Harry's exceptional potion-making. Some credit must go to you, of course. You taught him for 5 years.
Trapped, with Slughorn's arm around his shoulders, Snape looked down his hooked nose at Harry, his black eyes narrowed.
Funny, I never had the impression that I managed to teach Potter anything at all. Well, then, it's natural ability,
shouted Slughorn.
You should have seen what he gave me. First lesson, draft of living death. Never had a student produce finer on a first attempt. I don't think even you, Severus.
Really?
Said Snape quietly, his eyes still boring into Harry, who felt a certain disquiet. The last thing he wanted was for Snape to start investigating the source of his newfound brilliance at potions.
Remind me what other subjects you're taking, Harry, asked Slughorn.
Defense against the dark arts, charms, transfiguration, herbology, all the subjects required, in short, for an auror, said Snape with the faintest sneer. Yeah, well, that's what I'd like to do, said Harry defiantly.
And a great one you'll make too, boomed Slughorn.
I don't think you should be an auror, Harry,
said Luna unexpectedly. Everybody looked at her.
The aurors are part of the Rotfang conspiracy. I thought everyone knew that. They're working to bring down the Ministry of Magic from within using a combination of dark magic and gum disease.
Harry inhaled half his mead up his nose as he started to laugh. Really, it had been worth bringing Luna just for this. Emerging from his goblet, coughing, sopping wet but still grinning, he saw something calculated to raise his spirits even higher. Draco Malfoy being dragged by the ear toward them by Argus Filch.
Professor Slughorn, wheezed Filch, his jowls a-quiver and the maniacal light of mischief detection in his bulging eyes. I discovered this boy lurking in an upstairs corridor. He claims to have been invited to your party and to have been delayed in setting out. Did you issue him with an invitation?
Malfoy pulled himself free of Filch's grip, looking furious.
All right. I wasn't invited, he said angrily. I was trying to gatecrash. Happy? No, I'm not, said Filch,
a statement at complete odds with the glee on his face.
You're in trouble, you are. Didn't the headmaster say that nighttime prowling's out, unless you've got permission, didn't he, hey? That's all right, Argus, that's all right, said Slughorn, waving a hand. It's Christmas, and it's not a crime to want to come to a party. Just this once, we'll forget any punishment. You may stay, Draco.
Filch's expression of outraged disappointment was perfectly predictable. But why, Harry wondered, watching him, did Malfoy look almost equally unhappy? And why was Snape looking at Malfoy as though both angry and, was it possible, a little afraid? But almost before Harry had registered what he had seen, Filch had turned and shuffled away, muttering under his breath. Malfoy had composed his face into a smile and was thanking Slughorn for his generosity, and Snape's face was smoothly inscrutable again.
It's nothing, nothing, said Slughorn, waving away Malfoy's thanks. I did know your grandfather after all.
He always spoke very highly of you, sir, said Malfoy quickly. Said you were the best potion maker he'd ever known.
Harry stared at Malfoy. It was not the sucking up that intrigued him. He had watched Malfoy do that to Snape for a long time. It was the fact that Malfoy did, after all, look a little ill. This was the first time he had seen Malfoy close up for ages. He now saw that Malfoy had dark shadows under his eyes and a distinctly greyish tinge to his skin.
I'd like a word with you, Draco, said Snape suddenly.
Oh, now, Severus,
said Slughorn, hiccuping again.
It's Christmas. Don't be too hard.